The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. My co-host, Sean, is not here today. Let's see. He was raptured, but I'm sure he'll be back next week when God figures out he made a horrible mistake. Actually, I think he's at a wedding. I'm guessing it's a last-minute wedding. Statistically, I'm not sure if those are the best ones, but I have to say my wife and I only dated for a year and a half, and we got married in a casino in Tahoe, and here we are 14 years later, so it appears that it has worked out. So tonight's show, where we have our guest Raven Sidsmansky, and we're going to be talking about aliens and gray aliens and Wright-Patterson Air Force, but first off, I want to talk about The Happening. I'm a horror movie fanatic, and I don't know if you've seen the movie The Happening, but The Happening is basically about a bunch of people that just start to go crazy and so on and so forth. And I'm really starting to think that The Happening is happening right here, right now, in our world. The town that I live in, Redding, California, the crime rates have just, like, spiked. Now, I'm sure everybody listening has their opinions about how it needs to be taken care of. You know, half of you are out there going, well, we need drug rehab, and the other half are out there going, we need more beds in the jail, and some people are out there going, we need both of those things. And I get that, but that's, I'm just talking about the potential paranormal aspects of this, because it is just wild. So my wife is going to work today, and she gets there brutally early, and she runs out and visits a family and then is pulling back up, and she comes pulling up behind a cop car in front of her work, and she looks out in front of her, and she sees that the cop is standing there with a gun pointed at a guy, and she immediately pops it into reverse and gets out of there as fast as she can, you know, because she's smart like that. Well, anybody locally here knows that the cops shot that guy, and that guy is now in the hospital. So the happening aspects of this are 10 in the morning. This guy is on a crime spree throughout town where he is, like, beating up people and robbing their homes. So here's the first happening part. I remember the good old days when, you know, crime slept in. You know, what happened to that? What happened to staying up all night committing crime and then, you know, catching your Z's? You know, are they just staying up 24/7? Is this like is this meth-induced? I don't know. It's crazy. And then on top of that, the other happening part about this is, as my wife is reversing to get the heck out of there because she doesn't want to be anywhere around gunshots and craziness, there are throngs of people in the local neighborhood who are rushing out there, taking their dogs on this immediate walk, you know, because they're all looking to rubberneck at the crazy shooting. And so it's like, so here's this crazy guy who's like robbing people at 10 in the morning. Here's a neighborhood of people who want to hop out there and check out the activity that's going on with cops. You know, my initial thought is if cops are going on, I want to go the other way because I'm looking to take life kind of easy, you know. I don't really get endorphin high off of that sort of thing. So there's a bunch of craziness right there. And then my wife goes about her day. She finally calms down. She comes pulling into our apartment complex. And our apartment complex is now totally blocked off by cops as she's getting home, because down the way, some guy didn't like I guess, how the air conditioning man showed up to fix his air conditioning, and he threatened him with a BB gun, at which point the air conditioning man has a concealed carry, and he pulls out a real gun, and there is a BB gun, real gun standoff in my family apartment complex, and there are like 15 cops that have pulled up for that. So, why does life change like this so much? Now, I understand that there's always been a percentage of people who are causing these problems, but we have to ask ourselves, when the amount of people goes up so high that are doing these things, there must be some sort of outside influence or some sort of de-evolution going on. You know, maybe it's like all my movie reference, it's like Altered States, that movie where William Hurt sits in the sensory deprivation container for so long that he turns into a monkey and terrorizes San Francisco. It's a good flick. Not really. It's not really that good, but, you know, it's worth a watch. But, you know, why are so many people just crazy? Is it the desperacy of the situation? You know, I really don't know. I just thought it was a really sort of interesting day for my wife. And it's funny because this weekend we always talk about how we're thinking about moving out of Reading. And then this weekend she's all, well, maybe we should stay here. You know, it's not bad. We can buy a house. The prices are reasonable. And then she says, it always seems like as soon as I start to think this, the world just goes crazy the next day. And there are all sorts of stuff. And then to boot on top of that, basically the entire region is on fire. And if you look at the local news, they actually have superimposed fire behind the weatherman as he is pointing out all the fires in the area. So it's a crazy world out there. The happening is happening. But you've come to the right place. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, and you're going to get a break from all of this with our guest, Raymond Szymanski. Definitely the leading expert on extraterrestrials and their involvement in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and the author of a recent book. God, I can't believe I forgot the name of this book because it's so funny. Oh, yeah. 50 Shades of Greys. That's plural. Gray aliens. They're not being romantic. They're up to something. So you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, Raymond Szymanski.
Thank you.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with a full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belandi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Have you ever tried ordering flowers from a 1-800 company, only to be disappointed by what shows up? Why not try us? We are Liberty Florist at 810 Lake Boulevard. We are Master Florist certified, delivered to all the Reading and surrounding areas, and our top priorities are customer service and the quality in our products. If you'd like $50 worth of flowers, that's what you'll get. No service fees, no middleman. So call us, Liberty Florist, at 768-1544. Check us out at libertyfloristreading.com or stop by at 810 Lake Boulevard.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
I told you why I changed my mind.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Raymond Szymanski. Raymond, do we have you there with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this evening?
Absolutely awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you very much for being on. You have a lot going on here, so I'm just going to hop right into it, and we'll cut right to your book, if that's all right. I got to say, the name is very catchy, very fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, when I heard it, I'm just all, that is a great name. I can't believe, you know, I didn't think of it. It is just a lot of fun. So what is the book about, 50 Shades of Grey's, and about the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. One of the enforcers, a name that a lot of your audience will recognize, Nick Pope, he says that 50 Shades of Grey is a fun and informative book that's part UFO expose and part travel guide. So that's kind of the top level. Then he goes on to say, it's written in a gonzo style, and I tour the world researching iconic UFO sightings. I meet a colorful cast of characters, experts, and enthusiasts along the way. But my four-decade career as an engineer at Wright-Patterson, where many believe that aliens crashed with their spaceships and they're stored there, and his exciting new evidence will doubtless start a few conspiracy theories. That's right from Nick Pope. So it's a UFO expose, it's a travel adventure, and it's really my quest for the truth about rumors that I heard over four decades while I worked as an engineer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Really? So what are some of these rumors that we heard? You know, what do we think maybe went on there?
Well, it all started in January of 1973 when I was a young co-op student from the University of Detroit. And I was assigned a mentor who at that time was probably a mid-level engineer, maybe a GS, which stands for General Schedule. He was a GS 11. And he said, hey, look, at on the other side of the building, and it was two business office buildings, two stories apiece, separated by about a 200-foot empty airplane hangar. So he said, let's cut through the hangar, going to get a candy bar, show you where the greasy spoon is at. I said, fine. So as soon as we go down this little ramp and we hit the floor of the hangar, he goes, have you heard about our aliens?
That's enough to pique my interest.
I'm a young co-op engineering student from the University of Detroit. I have no idea what he's talking about. So he goes on to tell me after I question him that 1947, there was a crash outside Roswell, the wreckage. He called it the machine. The aliens and their machine were brought to Wright-Patterson for evaluation and possible exploitation. And basically, all that good stuff was kept in a tunnel somewhere. So that was my baptism. That was my alien baptism back in 1973.
So up until this came up, you had no involvement or really thoughts about aliens up until this point, right?
The total amount of knowledge I had about aliens was zero at that point. It was a complete shock. I didn't even know what he meant when he said the word alien. So that's 1973, and I eventually come to find out, because as I meet people and I trust them a little bit, I come to find out that there was this thing called Project Blue Book, which was hosted at Wright-Patterson. And I'm sure your listeners are aware with Blue Book. If not, it basically was about a 22-year, supposedly an investigative effort conducted by the Air Force. They received over 12,000 UFO reports, and they went out to try to figure out what was going on. And the entire base population, I soon found out, was very well aware of Project Blue Book and the fact that it was hosted at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and what it was all about. So aliens and UFOs and Project Blue Book was pretty much not a secret at Wright-Patterson.
You know, I find that, like, you know, shocking that the government wouldn't be keeping a serious lid on it or threatening people or having them, you know, certain clearance, you know. So were you led to believe that these remains of either the alien or the craft were still at Wright-Patterson during 1973?
Most definitely. I talked to probably – I was there for, I think, a three-month period starting in January of 73, and I talked to, again, as I said, different people that I learned to trust and, you know, thought would give me the straight scoop, or I'd come in kind of like real shy and, hey, you know, I got a question for you. Everyone seemed to be aware of Blue Book, and it seemed to be just accepted that part of Wright-Patterson's heritage was the fact that the material and the aliens were brought to Wright-Patterson for evaluation. Now, what's interesting is it wasn't until about 5 years later, about 1978, that Jesse Marcel and Stanton Friedman got put together through some friends of Marcel and Friedman doing some research. And in a taped interview, Jesse Marcel, he said, look, I went out to the Foster Ranch after Mac Brazel had brought the stuff in. I was directed by the base commander, Colonel Blanchard, to go out there with another intelligence officer, and we picked up this material. We examined it. We brought it back to the base, and I'm here to tell you, you know, on this taped interview, that what we recovered was not of this planet, and secondarily, it did go to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So whatever the stuff was, went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now, as far as the alien part is concerned, I quite honestly don't know when that part of the story got added to the Roswell story, because in all the interviews and all the research I've ever done on Jesse Marcel, and again, he was the intelligence officer that was sent by the Roswell base commander to go that, you know, 80 miles north of Roswell and pick up the actual wreckage from the Foster Ranch, he never once mentioned alien bodies.
I see. Was there any implication as to what the material was? Was it ever described to us in any sort of fashion?
Well, the material has been described by many witnesses over the decades. The early descriptions were, we took, in fact, Jesse Marcel himself, Major Marcel, said that we could not cut it, we could not burn it, we could not dent it, we would crumble it up and it would return pretty much to the shape from whence it came. Now, if you think about the explanation of the Air Force in all of their 900-page explanations, they claim that it was a weather balloon. But it turns out that if one were to take the material from those type of weather balloons and put a match to it or a knife to it or other instruments of destruction that were laid upon it in 1947, that material would quickly disappear, catch fire, melt, etc. So there is no way that the material that Major Marcel described as early as 1978 could have been material from a weather balloon. It's just not possible because they, you know, conducted some preliminary Rube Goldberg test on it with matches and knives and a sledgehammer, and nothing seemed to affect the material. And I dare say that if you look at the material chemically that is associated with the mogul weather balloon explanation given by the Air Force, that dog don't hunt.
Right, but something affected the material because that thing crashed and we got a piece of it, right?
Yeah, and you know, would you like me to speculate on that?
Yeah, I would. We got about 3 minutes until we go to commercial break, so I'd love to hear it, yeah.
Great. You know, the missile range there, very close by to Roswell, had high-powered radars. They were doing testing on it. They were doing telemetry on missiles, that type of thing. Imagine for a minute that, you know, these spacecraft, two of them, are traveling at, you know, unknown speeds, 30,000 miles an hour. And one of these radars gives it a little pulse that shuts down their navigation for just a second. Well, at 30,000 miles an hour, you're going to travel a great distance. And if there were more than one craft in the area, and I believe there were, maybe they had a collision. You know, the unstoppable force meets the immovable object kind of thing. They're both of the same material, and bam, they get a gash in it, they get a hole. So
right, yeah, that's like the speed of a railgun or something.
Yeah, well, plus, not a railgun. I'm just saying, all you need to do is disturb the navigational system.
No, I meant that the ship was moving at like the speed of a railgun, like in order for it to hit something, we're looking at like catastrophic speeds.
Yes, I apologize, I didn't hear that. So it's very possible that these two objects, which were very sturdy against anything that we had, were 50-50 against a similar object. And I think that's a really good possibility of what happened. And maybe even this New Mexico lightning put enough EMF into the sky that all you have to do is shut it down for a second. And if these things are traveling and, you know, they bump into each other, then I think we have a good rationale for why they crashed.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Raymond Szymanski. When we come back, we're going to talk more about his book, and later on in the show, we're going to talk about his appearance on Ancient Aliens. Come on back to Radio Wasteland.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Reading sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, award-winning author and researcher, Raymond Sidzmanski. We're talking about his newest book, 50 Shades of Grays, Evidence of Extraterrestrial Visitation to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Beyond. So, did you see anything there or, you know, that made you sort of believe beyond hearsay that this is definitely here, that there is definitely something here that they're sort of keeping an extra lid on?
I think that working for the Air Force Research Laboratories for my entire career, made me privy to the amount of expertise, equipment, and infrastructure that we have, not only at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, but at other units that were scattered around the world. So if you just apply some very simple logic and you take the information that was given to us by the people who have given us immutable factoids, I can come to the conclusion that certainly something did go on at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base with respect to the Roswell crash wreckage and possibly other recoveries. Now, how do I come to that conclusion? Now, if you think about it, let's say that it's 1947, the Air Force has picked this material up, they have no idea what it is, it presents these very unusual properties of strength and flexibility and that type of thing. So, in 2017, the Air Force Materials Laboratory, which has gone through many name changes, is now a directorate of Air Force Research Labs. In 2017, they celebrated 100 years of being at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. So they already had 30 years of experience by the time the Roswell crash wreckage was recovered. And they were a world-class center of expertise on material science. So if you found this unusual material somewhere in the desert and you wanted to know maybe what its elemental composition was or a lot more about it so you could understand it, the only place in the world in the government that you would take it is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
I now, see. It was definitely it was definitely the only realistic place for something like that to go at the time.
The only realistic place pretty much in the world to take it would be the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And Wright-Patterson had more laboratories at the time, other expertise. They had the expertise. If they didn't, they could hire a contractor, and they could do it pretty simply because they had a large contracting organization. So, and this happened many, many times, you know, in the public eye, where they go, well, we need a guy who's a meteor expert. So they hire him, and he contracts him. J. Allen Hynek, he was a contractor. They brought him on board to help them look at the Blue Book things. So they had money, they had contracts, they had facilities, they had equipment. They had absolutely everything that you would possibly need in order to investigate this. And if it was only a weather balloon in 1947, why did they spend the next 22 years investigating the phenomena? They could have just dispatched it, saved themselves tons of money and time, and go, it's a weather balloon, and we don't have to look into it. But that's not what happened. They spent another 22 years, and those guys from FTD who ran it, they had access to all the expertise, not only at Wright-Patterson, but within the Department of Defense to help them get through their investigations.
Yeah, it leads me to think that they probably didn't keep too much of a lid on it because their abilities at compartmentalization was just, you know, you're dealing with military, you're dealing with people who are trained to follow orders and you know, loyal, and then you're dealing with scientists who are used to working on very small tidbits, and they were probably able to compartmentalize quite a bit of this and get some answers without too much concrete evidence going out the door, I guess.
They would bring it in, hand it to a scientist, and say, look, here's a piece of material. We want you and your staff to tell us everything that you can possibly tell us from a materials expert perspective, and you're going to write us a report. How long do you need to do this? Okay, they say 3 months. Fine, we'll be back in 90 days. 90 days, they hand over the report. They tell them, look, this was top secret. You can't say anything to anybody. This piece of material was never here, and you never gave us a report. So with that as background and my understanding of what capabilities we had, you know, eventually I wanted to find out if the rumors that I heard were true. And so I started to read every book I could on UFOs and that type of thing, talk to everybody I could, associated with Wright Pat. And eventually I start doing field research, and I wanted to find out, is this BS or not BS, all this stuff I've been hearing? And I honestly did not care which way the answers fell as I did my investigation. I started doing field research in about 2008, so about 10 years ago. And I went out there with an open mind, and I said, I don't care if I prove all this stuff to be false. I just got to know. So I basically went on this worldwide quest to find new witnesses and new experts and poke my fingers into these stories of Exeter and Travis Walton and Rendlesham Forest and Wright Patterson. And I put everything that I think I knew that was interesting and entertaining and illuminating into the book, 50 Shades of Grey's.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question. Why do we assume that it's Grey's? Why Grey's?
Well, you know, the Grays are the most commonly reported extraterrestrial entity that supposedly have come in contact with humans. You know, there's people that report insectoids and reptilians and Nordics and others. But the most common type appear to be this worker bee that have the small heads. They're 4 foot tall. They've got large almond-shaped slanted eyes. And so when I was coming up with the title for the book, I wanted to make it catchy, and yes, I admit it was a play on that famous, you know, book about who knows what, sexual arousal, the 50 Shades.
Right, yeah, of course. I think it's a very clever and fun name for the book, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you again.
So, you know, for... we're not too far off from the commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about ancient aliens before we're done with the interview. So maybe you can tell our audience now a little bit where they can find the book, where they can get a copy, and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's great. The book is easily found on Amazon. You can get it paperback, or you can buy an electronic version, a Kindle version. Recently, the National Air Force, the National Museum of the United States Air Force, huge deal for me, they started selling my book. So if you come to Dayton and you come to the best air and space museum in the world, you'll find my book there. And in a little special deal, I also have a bookstore. I just took them under my wing. I made friends with the owner. And you can go to Fenton, Michigan, and go to the Open Book. It is the only bookstore in the world that I allow to sell my book. And that's just something I decided to do. Otherwise, Amazon or the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force.
All right. And, you know, before we go to break, you were saying that you set out to sort of prove sure. this right or prove it wrong. I assume that you came up with that, yes, there was, you're convinced that there's something to this. Let's see if we have time to answer this. Why do you think they were even here?
Why do you think?
Yeah, so they're flying over, they crash, and, you know, why do we think that they were even here to crash? Do we have some realize it's speculative, but.
Yes, I'm working on a second book, and that book is now in editing, and it has to deal with people who claim to have contact. And I'm collecting physical evidence, clinical evidence, photographic evidence, and their narrative. And I'm putting it together because it's like I brought one foot in, now I put the other foot in. And I wouldn't have done this secondary research on this abduction phenomena had I not convinced myself that indeed we've been visited. So that book hopefully will be out in the next several months.
Great. Yeah, that's always been
a
question of mine. Yeah, that's always been a big question of mine, like a question of intent, because, like, I see all the evidence and I see all the stuff, and it definitely makes sense to me, but the question of intent has always hovered over me, and that's where I really want the answer, you know, because some people view it as fear, and some people view it as something wonderful, and I don't know. All right. We're coming up on our commercial break here. You're listening to our guest, Raymond Szymanski, as we're talking about Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But when we come back, we're talking about ancient aliens.
My mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, heard Monday through Friday on KCNR 1460 AM, coming soon to 96.5 FM. Tuesday, we welcome Mark Story from Haven Humane. It's hot. Our furry friends are at risk, not just in cars, but simply walking on those scorching sidewalks. Find out what you need to know to keep them happy and healthy. Northwest Homes will be on hand to talk about their exciting new construction. KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. Miss a day, miss a lot.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Raymond Szymanski, author and researcher. We've been talking about his book, 50 Shades of Greys and Evidence of Aliens at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But now I'm hoping to talk to you a little bit about your appearance on Ancient Aliens. I think it's one of those things that the entire alien research community loves and loathes at the same time, because, you know, we all sort of hold these things so precious to us. How was that? And then for one, the episode is on Area 52. I haven't seen this. What is Area 52? Maybe we should start with that.
Everyone, I think, is aware of Area 51, you know, supposedly that's where they kept the aliens originally. And it's the base, secret base, that's formerly clustered there with all the nuclear stuff and the nuclear testing, and it's about 90 miles north of Las Vegas. So Area 52 is a generalized term that was created to suggest that perhaps the things that were in Area 51 may not be there anymore, that now it's just a red herring that's going to attract all the attention, when really it's no longer necessary to have all the research for the extraterrestrial materials and the occupants in one location. So they suggested that perhaps places like Wright-Patterson Air Force Base are actually conducting part of the research that people think is in Area 51. And I would have to agree with that type of a theory. And The reason I would do that is, you know, recently, and this is the last handful of years, the Congress decided that Air Force Research Lab should collect all of their units from around the country. And we had a unit at Eglin Air Force Base, one at Hanscom Air Force Base, Mesa, Arizona, Brooks Air Force Base, several Air Force bases around the country. And they said, it doesn't make sense to have all these little units. We should put Air Force Research Labs in one location, and we're going to build new buildings, and we're going to put it at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And that's exactly what they did. Several beautiful, well-appointed, well-equipped buildings. They moved as many bodies as they could from all the different units around the country, consolidated them there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Now, we still do have a few satellites, but they're skeleton crews compared to what we had before. So now you've taken all of your research scientists and engineers, and you've enhanced the probability that they're going to crosstalk, or we can pull this guy in and that guy in when we need an expert opinion, and we don't have to bring them in from around the country or from London or Japan anymore. We just walk up the street and go, hey, we need you to look at this. So do I think that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is equipped to do that kind of research? I definitely think they are, for all the reasons we mentioned before. Security clearances, money, contracting, expertise, yada, yada. So what they did for this episode is they floated that balloon, and they asked me the questions, the answer I just gave you. Was it my opinion that Wright-Patterson could possibly be participating in this type of research?
Yeah, it makes sense that, you know, because my initial thought was, okay, Area 52 is a network, the concept of it being a network, and that made sense. But in this sort of day where digital communication is so easily tapped and stuff like that, it seems like you would still want to have everybody in a central location so that you can control that information better.
That's true, and the expediency, you know, of getting a local expert in there speaks to one of the reasons why Congress wanted everybody, and it's not for the alien problem, it's just for, you know, our national defense problems. Having everybody in one geographical location certainly enhances the capabilities of Air Force Research Labs. There's no doubt about it.
All right,
no matter what they're doing.
Let's get a little speculative. How much of the government do you think is actually aware of this? Obviously, the government is aware of it on some satellite level, on the Air Force level, on that level. But how much of the government do you think is aware of this? Like, do you think the president is aware of it? Do you think senators are aware of it? Or is this sort of like a black ops military thing?
You know, my study and my research leads me to believe that there's a small unit, you know, one dozen, two dozen individuals at the very top, and they're this little ancillary unit out there, and their job is to push forward our understanding of whatever this phenomena is. And they have money, and they're probably black budgeted, so it really can't be investigated. But it's a small group at the top. And what they do is they'll bring in a piece of material, you know, like could have been done starting in 1947, and say, hey, we want you to tell us everything about this that you can. Give us a report, and then afterwards, you know, we're going to go away. They could do that with anything. They could do that with metal. They could do that with a piece of flesh, for example, if we had an actual occupant of those ships. So what happens is because of the need to know, that is always the overriding consideration. If you don't have the authorized need to know, they don't have to tell you. They can simply direct you to do something and say, you don't have the need to know what this is, and you're sworn to secrecy. And that's what keeps the lid on it. So does the president know? I don't think so. I think maybe Harry Truman knew, but after that it was kept secret. Clinton wanted to know. He says, they wouldn't tell me. Reagan wanted to know. They wouldn't tell him. He appealed to the United Nations about, in that speech, you know, don't we already have an enemy that will unite us? Carter reported a UFO. He wanted to know. They wouldn't tell him. So don't have a need to know. Doesn't matter if you're the president or not. If you don't have the need to know, you probably won't find out.
Okay, well, we don't have too much more time here, but this brings me back to my question of intent. And so is it the results of the Project Blue Book where they were basically saying, like, if people find out about this, they're going to go crazy? Do you think that's kind of the reason why people don't know, why it's not public knowledge? Or do you think it's like military national security or?
Imagine if it's a problem you couldn't solve. Okay, tomorrow I say you've got to do brain surgery. Well, you know you're not qualified to do brain surgery. These things, whatever they are, exhibit a technology that we can't match and don't understand. So the best thing for them to do is deep six the problem so we as a population don't worry about it. Because, you know, the government, they are supposed to take care of everything. Well, it's a problem that I don't think they fully understand, that they can handle. These objects penetrate our defenses and skies and whatever with impunity. So the best thing really, I think, in their thinking is let's just make this thing go away and we'll work the problem in the background in the secret and hope to God someday we come up with stuff that will help us understand what it is and maybe if we go to war with these people, you know, we can equalize what they have.
All right. Well, Raymond, we're right here at the end of the show, and I just want to cover real quick. I guess you have a book signing coming up in October?
Yeah, I have a number of events, but I wanted to plug the one. It's locally. It's in Waynesville, Ohio. It's at their library, and I'm going to make a left turn because I'm going to deal with the paranormal and the military. And Wright-Patterson actually has a long history of paranormal occurrences, not the least of which is possible visitation by aliens that were brought here through the year. So I'm going to cover that, and it's going to be a little bit different from my normal presentations. So I hope to invite everybody out to see it.
Sounds great. And can you give our listeners maybe some place where they can find out more about you?
I have a Wix site. You can go to It's a UFO Wix site, or just type in 50 shades and the word UFO, 50 shades and UFO. I promise you will get directed to my material and not that smutty book.
Awesome. I have really enjoyed having you on. Great stuff. I hope you come back on when your next book comes out. I would love to pick your brain about that one, too. You have been an awesome guest. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I'm certainly looking forward to another visit with you all.
All right. You've been listening to Raymond Szymanski here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.